own, guaranteed.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
For many more segments on this week's episode of the Paracast with Gene and Chris, exploring the technology behind crystal skulls. Okay, so there's a machining process that's involved in the current construction. Does that make it more perfect than with the modern crystal skulls?
What it does is you set a guide path on your tool, so it follows an arc. So that means if you're making a skull, a face, one side of the face will be exactly like the other side because it's following a guide path on a machine. It's usually a diamond tool or something to cut quartz. Again, let's get people some science again. What's called the Mohs scale, M-O-H-S, is how geology rates a stone. Of course, diamond being 10. Crystal, quartz crystal would be 7 to 7.5 on a 10 scale. So to cut quartz, you need something 7 or higher, usually copperundum or diamond. So to set a guide path, it's going to carve one side of the face exactly like the other. We call this as being bilaterally symmetrical. Bilateral symmetrical. One side of the face is exactly like the other side of the face. I ask every viewer, all of you now, look at your face in the mirror. Your face is not like that. One eye can be lower than the other. One nostril's higher than the other. One cheekbone. Our face anatomically is not bilaterally symmetrical. It is different. So you look at it, what we call a purported ancient crystal skull. The first thing we can look at from observation, is it bilaterally symmetrical? And the skull that I'll mention to you that I documented as being ancient, the Mayan crystal skull, the amethyst crystal skull, the Shannara, Max, the one I'm going to talk about, Einstein, none of these skulls are bilaterally symmetric.
So there's a minor point of imperfection about them.
Not minor.
That's major, Gene.
Okay, well, we want to clarify that, okay, because these are made by hand.
That's correct. There you go. Now we're looking at it. So now we observe the polish. When you're using a machine to polish a crystal skull, any crystal, it's going to be finely polished, smooth as glass, no imperfection. They machine it over and over. Why are they doing it? Understand, why are we making a contemporary crystal skull? We're making it to be sold. We're making it to be sold. Let's talk about capitalism here. Anything that's done in this last 100 years or 200 years is going to be made to be sold predominantly. So they were carving it perfect to look smooth, to look clean, to look nice, so somebody's going to look at it aesthetically pleasing and buy it. When we look at a Max, a Shannara, or let's go back to the first one I talked about, the Mayan crystal skull. The first one I looked at as an archaeologist in 1980, I noticed it was not finely polished. There were cut marks. There were bumps. It looks like it was carved by hand. Looks like it was carved by hand. That is one important distinction from ancient skull to a modern skull. They were carved by hand. How were they carved by hand? We have many different theories we can talk about. So that's number one.
So we're not looking in terms of ET technology or ancient astronauts here. We're talking about primitive peoples who use the implements of their society to build these things.
Well, you bring a great point because that's a whole subject of discussion. You've got a whole group of people who look at these ancient skulls and says they have to be ancient aliens because ancient people couldn't have done that. We don't agree with that. If you're asking my opinion, based on 30 years of research, I say ancient peoples carved these skulls by hand. They had knowledge of diamonds. We see the same thing in ancient Egypt, that they were using diamond drills to cut granite over 10,000 years ago. So ancient people had the knowledge of diamond. They didn't use machines to cut these skulls, but they had to use some type of diamond sand, diamond grit, somehow diamond tools, and very painstaking. And we say what we see in the ancient skulls, as opposed to the modern skulls, is the intent of the carver is in the skull. And this becomes paranormal and metaphysical. But there's a definite difference between an ancient skull and a modern skull due to the energy, due to how long it's been used by humans, and due to the intent of the carver. Again, a modern skull is carved to be sold. It's going to look as pretty as they can make it, shiny, polishy, using very nice. I mean, we see crystal skulls today in every possible crystal you can imagine, including skulls out of diamond that are called one that's up for sale. I can give you a website for $10 million. A diamond encrusted skull. But every possible crystal now you can think of, emerald, ruby, whatever, is crystal skull made out of. And the ancients did too. They chose their favorite skull. For example, the Maya loved jade. So when we see a jade crystal skull coming out of a Mayan tomb, it is very significant. And they are coming out now. This is something else we can talk about. More crystal skulls are coming out all the time now.
Okay, I want to go into that in a moment, but one thing that occurred to me when we had Joshua Shapiro on the show, and it occurs to me again here, we're looking at crystal skulls as ancient computers here. And then I go back to Richard Shaver, the guy who said he met these creatures beneath the caverns, beneath the surface of the earth, and he was looking for rock books, some kind of quartz crystals that contained records, the knowledge of ancient civilizations. He was trying to interpret them. He was trying to translate them. Mm-hmm. Does any of this have any relationship to what you're talking about?
Yes, in a way. Again, we can talk about that. There are certain crystals are given the designation record keeper, and that they seem to have had many so-called point defects, and they have an infinite capacity to store information. Again, ancient records, yes. We have seen, I have seen, scenes of ancient civilizations in crystal skulls. So there are the records. I mean, again, I work with the second crystal skull I work with, I call the amethyst crystal skull because it was 8 pounds of amethyst, incredible skull. I have pictures in the book. I will talk about my book with David Hatcher Childress. There's pictures of all the skulls I discussed. But in this amethyst crystal skull, I saw scenes of ancient Egypt till up at that point, 1983 now, I had not read anywhere. I saw the Sphinx in a lake. I saw lush green all around. I saw pyramids with energies kicking out of them. I did not understand what I was seeing because no one had written about it at that time. Lo and behold, 9 years later, I go to Egypt, 1992. I meet the man who becomes my teacher, an indigenous wisdom keeper, and he fills in the whole history of the indigenous story, exactly what I saw in that crystal skull. So, yes, people say the crystal skulls contain evidences of history of ancient civilizations. People have seen it in there.
Okay, but do you have to use sensitives to get this information, or can you bring it to a laboratory, hook it up to one of today's computers, and find this information?
Not yet. That's a great point.
Is it in ones and zeros?
It will be eventually, Gene. I think that's a great point you bring up. Right now, it comes into the form of parapsychology, of psychometry. The only way to access the information now is psychically. But I do believe you've hit on a great point. I do believe one day we will be able to hook these crystal skulls up to the computer and see visual images coming out of this.
That sounds like a great screenplay.
Sure.
That'd make a great screenplay.
You know, I think Lucas could have followed up on with India, you know.
Right. Before we get too far down the road, I'm going to go back to the whole idea of ancient people having the technology and the technological prowess and materials to actually fabricate these things. Where did, let's say, for instance, the Olmec or the Maya, how did they have access to diamonds? Is there any sort of source of diamonds north of Brazil? Or?
No. You bring up a great point and a great food for future research. Brazil, of course, and Africa, South Africa. What we know for sure, Chris, is that the Olmec were trading with West African sailors. Those are the giant heads of La Venta. And at San Lorenzo, we see these incredible heads out of basalt that weigh 30 tons that are clearly West African mariners, sailors. There is no doubt in my mind that the Olmec were trading with Africans, with Asians, and with Europeans. So,
do you know if diamonds ever been found in a Mayan tomb, let's say, or an Olmec tomb, to your knowledge?
Not that I know of. Good point. Not that I know of. But I'm certainly sure that the site reports have not been complete. Because we haven't found diamond tools in Egypt yet, Christopher, either. But we know that's true. We can see the evidence of diamond cuts. We can see.
I would think that they would be one of the first things that would leave a tomb site surreptitiously.
Right. Right. Well, I can give a joke here. It might be off color, so I won't do it. But
we're now allowed to do off color, only dulled. Okay, slightly dulled. This works.
Actually, my teacher had a son who's a master carver. His name is Moses. He named him Moses. It's Musa in Arabic, and so he makes a joke because we talk about. I wrote a book actually talking about the Exodus and how the people that left the Exodus were actually a follower of a particular king named Akhenaten. It's a long story, but Moses would say, well, you know, the Jews took their tools when they left. Why are the Jews such great diamond cutters in the world today?
Good point, yeah.
You can go to an area.
Yeah, don't leave the tools of your trade lying around when you leave.
Exactly, they took the tools with them. We haven't found the diamond
tools
yet. There's a lot of research. There's a lot of work to be done. We have not found the diamond tools yet, but we see the evidence.
We gotta have to find who stole those tools and where they put them. Stephen Mailer joins us. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Have you been sitting on a few great domain name ideas but haven't locked them in for yourself? Good. Now you can buy them through the number one domain name registrar, Namecheap.com, as voted by the top tech blog Lifehacker. Just like the name says, you can buy domains cheap, as low as $2.99. And every new domain comes with WhoisGuard, our special privacy service, free for the first year. Now that you know, it's time to grab those domain names before someone else does. Namecheap.com. Go now. Namecheap.com.
Fate Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, June 24th, 2011. Gold opened this morning at 15.2040. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $15.5897, $7.7948 for a half ounce, or $3.8974 for a quarter ounce. That's $15.5897, $7.7948, and $3.8974.
The Constitution and the Bill of Rights have been reduced to old relics politicians ignore, trample with their outlandish, overreaching policies. Your support for the Campaign for Liberty stands in the way of this insidious process. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I have teamed up with the Campaign for Liberty to offer the authentic proof quarter ounce pure gold coin. For only $440 plus shipping, Midas will donate $100 to this incredible organization. Help fight big government by ordering your gold coin at 800-686-2237. You get to win twice by owning gold and fighting an overreaching government. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military issue supplies. They're right here online at mainmilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true, total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits, magnesium fire-starting tools, strike anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches, first aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit mainmilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E military.com, the main name in military supply.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you want to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out on iTunes.
We're in the second hour of our fun and games with Crystal Skulls. Fascinating journey. Trying to look at the scientific properties, not so much the stuff that you can't prove, but try to really nail it down with Stephen Mailer, an archaeologist. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. Chris, you want to pursue the questioning, and maybe there were one or two questions in our forums about this gentleman?
First of all, after Joshua was on the show, just for your own information, Stephen, we had one of the largest threads on the Paracast forum, which is forum.theparacast.com. For all you new listeners, go and sign up and become part of the fun. We had 24 pages and almost 250 responses, and boy, it got hot and heavy there for a while. There's one whole cadre of skeptics that frequent our forum and listen to the show that absolutely took the Smithsonian, I forget, what was her name, Mary? Somebody rather.
Jane Walsh,
yeah, they took her claims that none of these skulls were ancient, and boy, they ran with that, and they were using that as a baton to smack anybody who disagreed with their highly skeptical view of this whole subject. But one of the things that I'm interested in knowing, first of all, is, you know, we know about the famous you know, half to full size, even larger than life size crystal skulls. But there also have been hundreds of smaller skulls that have been found in the Maya lands. How much documentation and provenance do we have for smaller versions of these crystal skulls that have been reported being found?
That's a great point, and I'm glad you brought that up because it shows, in my opinion, how intellectually, academically dishonest Jane Walsh is. You have in the museums in Mexico City dozens of small crystal skulls that have come out of Aztec tombs. We know the Aztecs were carvings. Actually, the Aztecs weren't. If I can be clear, the Aztecs were actually a confederation. What is Aztec? The Aztecs themselves were a warrior tribe. They conquered a bunch of other tribes. They formed the Confederation, which we call the Aztec Confederation. But there was one tribe, actually it was a couple of tribes, that the Aztecs employed were called the Mixtecs and the Zapotecs. They were master carvers. They carved in jade and they carved in crystal. This is not metaphysics. This is scientifically attestable and provable. We have the artifacts of the Mixtecs and Zapotecs, great carvers in jade and crystal. So yes, to answer your question, there are hundreds of small crystal skulls that have come out of Mayan and Aztec tombs, labeled so in museums, and yet this woman will come and say that none of them are ancient. Obviously intellectually dishonest. Now, also she is claiming that certain skulls are modern carved, and I'm answering now your critics, that she never tested. She made a statement, and I attacked her in print on this in 2005 in the Washington Post, that the crystal skull Max, owned by Joanne and Carl Parks in Texas, that she never tested, is modern carved as the rest. If I can say she's lied, but she's made intellectually dishonest statements. How she came to her conclusion, for those that are backing her, is because of Bill Holman and the Mitchell Hedges skull. Because he foolishly let her have that skull twice. She made casts of the jaw and the teeth, ran it through her electron scanning microscope, saw these straight cut marks that looks like it's from a modern tool, and she declared unequivocally the Mitchell Hedges skull is a phony, it is modern carved, and all of them therefore are phony. The irony of this is we agree with her. Nick Nocerino was the first one who told me in 1998 that Anna Mitchell Hedges' story about the Mitchell Hedges skull is a complete fabrication. She was never at Lubantun. That skull was never found at Lubantun. That skull was never carved by the Maya. It is a modern carved skull. So therefore, Jane Walsh was able to use that to get that information on that skull and then use it against every other skull we talk about, which she has not tested personally. She has not tested Shana Ra. She has not tested Einstein. She has not tested the Mayan skull or the Amethyst skull, and she has not tested a Max. So she lies when she talks about that. These skulls are ancient artifacts.
She did test the British skull, correct? Which is almost a modern carved.
It is modern carved. And it is modern carved. So you see, we have a lot of modern carved skulls, full-size modern carved skulls, which fool people. There are a couple out there I'm not going to mention specifically that are out in the field now that have been called ancient that are not. But there are those that are. And the fact is that Jane Walsh, the resident archaeologist, anthropologist of the Smithsonian Institute, has never done an excavation in her life. She has never been to a Mayan tomb. She's never been to the Mayan site. She's never talked to a Mayan elder. She just goes about one testing. She sees a little electron microscope, and therefore they're all phony. So those of you, or your people that want to stand by her, bring them on, because this woman is intellectually and academically dishonest.
And we're quoting you on that.
Absolutely. And I've been quoted already on George Norrie, on Coast to Coast, and on all these shows, Jeff Renz, and in print saying that. And I'll challenge her anytime to come test Max with me and prove that Max is modern car.
Have you physically contacted her and said, okay, let's put your claims to the test?
No. I just called her out in public. And on the radio.
Well,
no,
why not contact her? Why not say, okay, you know, I've been challenging you. You're not responding. Let's have the challenge. Let's put it to the test. Let's see what you can do, and I'll show you what I could do.
Well, you're talking about an honest, intellectually scientific debate, which doesn't exist with these people. She would not recognize my she would not recognize my credentials, and she would refuse to take part. I know the answer beforehand.
You know what? Just for the heck of it, how about trying and let us know on the Paracast? If she ignores you, fine. If she says, I'm not going to do it, fine, but why not contact her?
That's a good point, Gene. I'll try that.
Chris.
Okay, here's another question that I had about Max. I had a personal experience with Max that I cannot explain. I was taken to task on the Paracast forum for mentioning it on the Joshua Shapiro episode. I sat with it, and it's a very interesting skull because it's dark on half of it, and the other side is quite clear and gemmy. And I could
Max
see...
Max has physically changed. I first saw Max in 1989. Today, in 2011, there is a whole side of Max's jaw, which is clear, which was cloudy 20 years ago, which shows that the crystal is interacting, we say with human mind, interacting with something. The crystal is changing. Max is also getting citrine. He's getting yellow in one side of his face, which was not
there. No kidding. Wow, I didn't know that. I witnessed something inside of it that was some very unusual light refractions that I got the distinct impression was like a TV set was trying to turn on inside the matrix of the skull, which I found very surprising. And, of course, mentioning that on the Joshua episode put me in some
Well, that's ridiculous.
Pretty,
let me clear up some more history, because we want history. I am the one who turned Joshua Shapiro on to crystal skull, period. 1982, he was just a rambling person going around San Jose, California. He came, we had a booth, a friend of mine, in a San Jose Renaissance Fair. We had crystal skull pictures. That's the first time he ever saw. 1983, I introduced him to the amethyst crystal skull. I am the one who showed Joshua Shapiro his first crystal skull. I am the one who turned him on to all of that. Let's be clear, Joshua Shapiro is not a scientist. He is not an archaeologist. He is just a journalist. That's how he approaches these subjects, not as a scientist. I first came to this subject as a scientist, but because I am a mystic and a scientist, I can walk in both fields. So did Nick Nocerino. So did Marcel Vogel. It is the only way to understand these things. So people want to remain skeptical, want to hear you tell a story like that. I can give you literally thousands of stories of people who claim miraculous healings from Max, who've seen incredible things, who've got information, who've gotten information about themselves personally that's enhanced their lives. Joanne Parks will be writing her own book on this, documenting literally thousands of healings.
I'll tell you what, we'll get into more of this, Stephen, in a moment. Stephen Mailer joins us. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans the galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarette's revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Is your church, school, or organization desperately looking for new fundraising ideas? Tired of the same old candles or candy, taking orders, inventory, and low profits? Well, here's great news. 10X Fundraising guarantees 10 times traditional profits with zero hassle. For an amazing free bonus, free shipping, and an extra 10% off, enter GCN when you go to 10xfundraising.com. That's the number 10, the letter X, fundraising.com. Or call 800-480-8797. Visit 10X Fundraising for 10 times the profit today.
Will you survive during the economic collapse or another deadly natural disaster? Your key to survival lies here at HardChute.com. A former member of U.S. Special Operations knows what you'll need to survive in these hard times. Our online store arms you with extreme survival kits, self-heating food reserves, and more. For a limited time with any purchase, you'll also receive a 3-day survival kit absolutely free. Prepare now. The online store, www.HardChute.com. www.HardChute.com.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amounts. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
Stephen Mailer talking about scientific research in crystal skulls. I'm Gene Steinberg. Chris O'Brien is the co-host. You're in the Paracast. Okay, so let's look at that. As far as you're concerned, Joshua Shapiro is a journalist. Do you think maybe he comes to conclusions too readily without supporting evidence? What's your opinion?
He's not grounded in his research. That's why... Again, I'm not here to try to put somebody down, but
it's not the point. We just want an honest criticism.
His information is not as clean as it could be. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Oh, that was a good way of putting it. Okay, here's a question that I have about Joanna Parks and Max. Now, there has been a claim made that she has absolutely taken Max off the table in terms of any potential scientific testing. Is this true? Would she be willing, if the conditions were correct and the proper protocols were in place, would she be willing to allow testing of Max to look for machine marks and that sort of thing?
Absolutely. In fact, we took part in a television documentary in 2008 from NBC. Flew me to New York, flew her to New York, brought me out to Brooklyn College Department of Anthropology. For 2.5 hours, they videoed me working with Max, showing how, as an archaeologist, you look at it, how to test it, how to examine it, how you can see that Max is ancient. And unfortunately, NBC turned the project over to the Sci-Fi Channel, and they used less than 5 seconds of me in the final part, after 2.5 hours.
So, welcome to Hollywood.
An hour, Bill Holman looking for an imaginary skull in Mexico that never existed. So, I mean, that's how it goes. But yes, to answer your question, let me bring you some more science. 1996, they were invited to come to the British Museum. Nick Nocerino bought Shana Ra. Joanne Parks, who usually never leaves the country, went to London with Max. They had the British Museum skull. They had the skull that's known as the Smithsonian skull. 40-pound hollow skull, big skull, smoky, very cloudy quartz. Jane Walsh was there, but she did not do the testing. The testing was done by a woman who's the head of the British Museum's testing laboratory. They came back with results. They said the British Museum skull was modern carved. They said that the Smithsonian skull was modern carved. They had some other skull there. It was an Aztec skull. It said it was carved there. Then when it came to Max and Shana Ra, who they tested scientifically, they had no comment. Now, wait a minute. First of all, when Nick Nocerino brought the skull over, he had a signed contract with the British Museum that they would get a copy of all testing, all reports. That was never provided. So when they asked, why is there no comment, they had no comment. Now, wait a minute. When you test something scientifically, either you get a result or you don't. Either it's ancient or it's not ancient. No comment is not a scientific response. Later, when they questioned...
And no comment about your no comment isn't either.
Well, later
so they reneged on their agreement.
They claimed the testing was inaccurate. They claimed the testing was inaccurate. They couldn't get a clear scientific test. That's nonsense. What they got was proof that the skulls were ancient. It was against their academic paradigms. They could not be honest and give an honest answer. And then Jane Walsh took those results years later to say that Max and Shana Ra tested out as being modern. There's no such test result. Again, you're not talking about people who are being scientifically honest here.
Well, this was a real point of contention on this voluminous thread on the Paracast forum, and it got a little hot and heavy there in terms of people supporting one side of the story versus the other. Well, you know, when we look at these artifacts, what is it about the skull motif that seems to draw people in? Do we have any other artifacts of this size and scale? Obviously, if these are ancient, some of these skulls are ancient. It took decades, generations to carve them, probably. Do we have any other types of artifacts that are on par with these skulls?
Yes. I mean, we have crystal balls. Okay. So the question is, then, why the shape?
Right.
The shape is important. Shape is significant. Okay. First of all, it is only in our modern mindset, i.e. Judeo-Christian Islamic philosophy, that we look at the skull as a symbol of death, something to be feared. And sure enough, that is a normal response. Most people who see a crystal skull on an exhibition, if they have a strong Christian, a strong Jewish, a strong Muslim background, immediately they're repulsed. It's death, it's evil. That's not how the ancient people, not how the Maya, not how the Olmec, not how ancient people look. First of all, they didn't fear death. They saw death as a continuation. And they saw a skull as a symbol of eternity. Now, another example would be, if we're saying that the crystal skulls were computers, could store information, well, what other organ in our body do we know that stores information? The brain. Where is the brain housed? In the skull. Simple. But in the skull would be a simple, something that we could identify with, something that is memory. But the ancient people, the skull represented eternity, infinity. It represented an alchemy we call the fixed salt, that which does not dissolve. Now, here's something you may not be aware of. But when a body disintegrates, it's usually the skull and the long bones that take the longest time to disintegrate, are the hardest stone, are the hardest mineral in our body. Why do we find skulls, of course, as fossils? Why can we find a 3.8 million-year-old skull cap of a pre-Hominid human, but we can't find the rest of the body? The ribs and all that is gone. Very rarely do we find a full skeleton in paleoarchaeology. But the skull and the long bones, when we cremate a body and they put it under that tremendous heat, usually the skull and the long bone, even at 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit, does not totally melt. What they do when they give you cremains, the cremated remains of someone, they have pulverized. They have taken out your mortar and pestle and pulverized the skull and the long bones so that you get pure powder. So a skull can represent eternity to the Maya, the Olmec, so the crystal skull is supposed to represent infinity.
Just parenthetically, let me ask you a quick question here before Chris picks up on it. And that is, okay, so we have the skull shaped in this fashion. We have this built as a skull shaped object. Does it have to be a skull? Can it be a hand? Can it be a foot? Can it be a circle?
Yes. To be a functional talisman, to be an operational tool, again, it could be just a crystal ball with no shape. or just a piece of raw crystal. But there is something that happens, Gene, when we carve. Again, we say the difference in the ancient skulls is the intent of the carver. So we're saying that these ancient skulls were carved by master shamans, male or female, usually with a school, with students being involved. And that person puts their intent into the skull. They are creating an object not to be sold. It's not commercial. It is a talisman. It is something to interact with human mind, to be used for healing.
But that means then they didn't build skulls or crystalline structures in other shapes with the same precision. Is that correct?
Correct. They predominantly looked at the skull shape, yes. What we're looking at is, they carved crystal into many different forms. You have crystal goblets, you have crystal statues, but it seems obvious to your point, the main shamanistic talisman they wanted to create was a skull.
All we have is the oral tradition to support this, and
we have one other piece, Chris. We have one other piece, Chris. The Mayan glyph.
What's that?
The Mayan glyph, which is just the upper jaw, is alchemical zero. It means infinity. It was actually a number, but the number was irrelevant. I mean, it's what we call infinity, alchemical zero. The Mayan glyph for infinity is the upper jaw of a skull.
Interesting. I didn't know that. Wow.
No, that's what
How about other animal forms? I know the jaguar was a revered animal in the cultures, especially around Central America and the highlands. Do we have any sort of animal forms that have been that are as impressive as in terms of these gorgeous artifacts that some of the skulls are? Do we have any examples of?
Yes, you know? I can actually send you that we took photographs of these of this cache that this Francisco Reyes brought in. They actually have a cobra out of jade. They would do a jaguars out of jade again. For the Maya and Olmec, if it had a special significance as a talismanic ritual object, they would use it as jade. Even more crystal was for the skulls, really, to really work with them as information device record keepers for healing. But when they had a special object, it would be jade. And I can reveal something here to you and your audience. It's not out to the public yet. There has been found in the Yucatan a jade head. It is known. It is actually like a Mayan head out of jade, and with it, it's been under secret for now. They are now coming out with a full-size jade crystal skull.
Okay, so this is a crystal skull made of jade, and I guess the big question will be, does it seem to have the same properties as quartz? And this is going to be a complicated question that has to wait until we do our break. Stephen Mayer joins us. I'm Gene Steinberg. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. You're in
the Paracast.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter, and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
The number one secret to having great health and long life is having high levels of glutathione. This master antioxidant is required by your body to stop free radicals, keep cells young, remove chemical and heavy metal toxins, support immunity, support liver functions, stop inflammation, and much more. The results of optimal levels of glutathione in your body are more mental and physical energy, stronger immune system, greater endurance, and more. Do you know the number one secret superfood that helps increase your glutathione levels by 64% or more? It's unheated whey protein powder from grass-fed cows. This health food is amazing in its ability to do so much for virtually everyone. Introducing One World Whey, an industry-first unheated whey protein powder from grass-fed cows. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning. Eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion. Fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793. 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Bud Hopkins, and you're listening to the Paracast, and I completely, enthusiastically endorse this program. It's an absolutely great program with opportunities to stretch out and talk.
So, the question on the table, the Jade Crystal Skull. Stephen Mailer is going to explain this to us. I'm Gene Steinberg, Chris O'Brien, to the co-host here in the Paracast. So, does jade have the same properties as quartz?
No, it has its own properties, specific properties. Jade can be worked, it's believed to raise energies, raise psychic vibrations. The Mayans definitely used jade objects when they did their ritual psychoactive plants to go into trance, to go into other worlds, other dimensions. So, no, the answer is quartz has its own particular properties, why quartz was chosen. Jade would have its particular properties, why it would be chosen for ritual shamanic object. But they definitely value jade, and I believe, again, the real masters of jade carving were the Olmec, who taught the Maya.
One thing that I'd like to know, and this is for some of the more skeptical types out there. Now, you mentioned that early on you conducted quite a number I'm not sure what the term would be, but refereed sort of sessions with sensitives and others. Has any of these results been published anywhere?
Yes. Very good. It's actually in two books. I wrote official reports for the Rosicrucian Order. Those reports were basically summarized in the book called Mysteries of Crystal Skulls Revealed, which Joshua arranged to get together with Nick Del Sereno and Nick's fine student Sandra Bowen. That book is basically out of print. It was one of the, came out in 1988, Mysteries of Crystal Skull Revealed. But since then, I've co-written a book with our friend and colleague, David Hatchett Childress. It's called The Crystal Skulls, Astonishing Portals to Man's Past, Adventures Unlimited Press, 2008. I have half the book. David has half the book. In my half the book, I summarize all the research I did at the Rosicrucian Research Lab.
Okay, well, I think that's important, because the whole idea, the whole linking between the scientific side of this whole mystery and the psychometric side or the intuitive side of this, I think this is the ground where your skeptics are going to have the most difficulty accepting this type of information at face value. And so I think it's important that these results were refereed, and you know, these tests were refereed, and these results actually have been published. I think that's important for people to know. And what we can do is we can refer people on to other types of scientific results if you feel that there's you know, if these tests were warranted and deserve to be given notice.
The two prominent researchers in the field, Dr. Marcel Vogel, obviously PhD in chemistry. Nick Nocerino got the first master's degree, teaching credential in parapsychology in California. These are two gentlemen who were scientifically oriented, who also were mystics and metaphysical. And that's my basis. So yes, there has to be the scientific grounding there somewhere. I mean, it can't just be all off the wall.
Well, and you also have to have scientists that are not intellectually dishonest about their exposure to these very enigmatic artifacts. You know, I mean, at the very least, produce the results of testing that you know is being done. I mean, that's smoking gun evidence that
right. And again, I would say when Joanne Parks publishes her book, she will have hundreds of testimonies from doctors, chiropractors, metallurgists, archaeologists, physicists, chemists, etc. So yeah, that's going to be included. We're going to have that eventually, the scientific testimony from scientists who are open-minded, who have looked at this object. And again, I would just like to bring one thing point out about your skeptics. I would challenge any skeptic to come to me who's actually witnessed the skull. There's a difference with people who are being skeptical, who are sitting in their armchairs, reading literature, right, and making comments. I used to host Joanne Parks. I've been to many places, you know, they go around with the skull. I've had many, many people who've come to see a crystal skull that I've witnessed who are very skeptical. This is nonsense. This is hooey-gluey. It's New Age garbage. Many men who were dragged by their wives. I have not seen one person who did not feel something. Even people say, I'm not sensitive, I don't get anything. They go down, sit with the skull. Would you feel it? Yes, just putting my hand on the skull, I felt this tingling. I felt this electricity. Everybody feels something. And I can tell you, the overwhelming people who I've seen, who I've witnessed, come to see a crystal skull, who've come as skeptics, have left as some degree of believer when they leave. So the majority of skeptics that you're looking at who are really adamant and who are refusing to accept any of this have never witnessed or experienced a crystal.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now, this brings up the whole subject of power objects, and I think you've kind of hinted at this through the first part of our show here, that these objects, especially, obviously, I'm referring to the ones that are potentially ancient, these objects were handled with reverence. There seems to be some sort of potential programming of these skulls as into power objects. And if, let's say, the science that you are referring to in terms of a defect in it that's able to store knowledge, the Vogel came up with this whole concept.
Right.
Quartz obviously has it. If this is real, it has more of a potential to be programmed as a power object. So let's discuss the programming, potential program of a power object.
Sure. And of course,
it's different from other objects.
Right. Some of it could be classified as positive, could be classified as negative. Let's face it, some of these objects were abused. Why we had initially a lot of people had problems with the first skull I talked about, the Mayan crystal skull. A lot of people got scared. A lot of people felt violence and anger. As we found out, again, this is an anecdotal story, but again, the oral tradition came down that this particular skull had been used by the Toltecs. When the Toltecs conquered the Maya in the Yucatan, they instituted large sacrifice of, again, opening the heart. It is what we then, people would see scenes that actually when the chest cavity was cut open with an obsidian knife and the heart taken out, this particular crystal skull was put in the heart cavity. So maybe it was seen then that they were helping the person pass over to the other side, but the trauma, the violence would go into the crystal. So people would experience that. Some of the skulls carried that, some didn't. So, I mean, the skulls were used for all possible things. Now, the ancient skulls, a lot of us felt from these powerful shamans, were from healing skulls, so the crystals were going to be used to heal. And how they were used in healing is, as I mentioned, to help someone pass over to the other side. Now, in our society, we don't think about that. But if people could, if you've ever interviewed or know of Daniel Brinkley, this is what he does for a living. Daniel Brinkley almost died 3 times. What he does now for a living is he helps people pass over peacefully with dignity. Well, the crystal skulls were used that way. We don't necessarily think that's a good thing, but there are people who don't think there's any such thing as death, that you're just going from one form to another, then the crystal skull enables you to move to that transition. It also did healings. So there were, and to store information and knowledge for previous people, to work as powerful shamanic ritual objects, to meditate with, to do chanting, rituals, to raise the vibrations of the people. All positive things. And yes, used for negative things. In later times, used as war objects, as used as objects to, again, for ritual sacrifice. So a lot of, all these things get recorded. We have seen these in the different skulls, of the different ways they were used are recorded in there. What we would say with the Mayan crystal skull, the people, sometimes they would get this bad feelings, and we say either you stop, you break off, or you don't want to deal with it, or you just try to concentrate to go deeper, that there were deeper things beyond that surface negativity and vibration. But some of the skulls, like Einstein, who I just saw, like Max, like Shana Ra, were never used for negative, and there's no negative energy has ever come out of them. Some of the skulls, it was told to us by the Mayan priests, a seal was put on by the skull, a ritual seal that it couldn't be used for negative. I mean, that's possible. But again, the objects were used were both positive and negative, depending on the culture, the civilization, the level of awareness of the people that had them. Yes, they've been used for black magic, no doubt.
Well, you mentioned that there have been healings associated with some of these skulls. Is there any documentation on this? I mean, I seem to remember from your book with David that you had mentioned a couple of cases in there. But why don't, for our listeners' sake, why don't you talk about some of the more celebrated examples of potential healings?
Well, again, Joanne Parks will be more into specific documentation, but she shows an example of a gentleman who had had back surgery before he came to see Max. He stood over Max and somebody took a photograph. In the photograph, you could actually see a double. You see Max and then you see right next to it, almost in etheric, in like yellow light, obviously in the photograph, but nobody witnessed it in real, showed his whole vertebral column. And Max showed him where he was going to work on his back and do a healing. This man then recorded months later that he has no back problems at all. And he attributes it totally to his sessions with Max. Again, Joanne will document this. A lot of this is going to be before, afters. There's going to be a lot of befores, a lot of afters. Nick Nocerino was essentially going to be writing his own book, documenting the healings he did with his skull. I don't have specifics because I don't have an ancient skull that I've worked with to give you a specific case. But I know there are documented cases and they will be recorded.
Again, you know, Joanne, one thing, Stephen, I'm going to want to ask you about the documentation and how we could basically find the providence for that documentation, and you'll see what I mean when we get to the next segment. Stephen Mailer joins us. The subject on the table is crystal skulls and maybe jade skulls and other sorts of things. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24-7. You heard me right. Every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.